Blog Talk Radio.
Time we got. Well, 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 my brothers and sisters. Yes, indeed, we're back. Yes, indeed, we're back again for another episode, another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel, Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Eddie Mia, Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Again, so very thankful to the Most High for the opportunity to be back with you again, welcoming you to the show. For the Most High, he's told me that I have for him some very important things for him to do. He told me because of what I must do, it was so very important for him that I must do. He said to me that I would surely accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But he told me that in doing for him that which he has asked of me, I have his protection and his guidance. Yes, my brothers and sisters, his guidance for your sakes. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, the Most High has told me that I must tell you things. It's very important that I do. And I must tell you things. The men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and if they could, to destroy. We have lived in a world, my brothers and sisters, that's grown all the more depraved and degraded, fallen short in its conscience, because men, my brothers and sisters, have refused to realize that the righteousness of Yah demands, that we all seek him unto the fullness of all that he has declared, that we, as a people, might be one. And whoever it is, my brothers and sisters, that forgets the purpose of the Most High is that all the world be made one in him, having forgotten the expectation, has also forgotten the promise, and my brothers and sisters, has fallen far from the very purpose of the Most High, far from the faith, and my brothers and sisters, leaving the expectation of the Most High, the plan of the Most High, the purpose of the Most High, as a thing far from the mind, has compelled many of my brothers and sisters to become self-righteous, selfishly ambitious, not realizing how men have not put the name of the Most High and his purpose first. Forgotten, my brothers and sisters, that the Most High calls a people, calls we will, he calls his prophets, to be a blessing to others, that others may discern the truth. I do not say, my brothers and sisters, that men should be flattered and therefore subject to faith killers. I did not say, my brothers and sisters, that men should seek the truth from the Most High, to hide, deny, compromise it, that men not discern what is divine purpose. But so often, my brothers and sisters, I've heard pastors tell me things like certain truths that people don't necessarily want. As if to say that whether man desires or does not desire the truth dictates the Most High the extent to which the extent of the blessing that he has declared that he would give to mankind. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, if man has denied the law and the prophets in so many ways, to an extent that men have robbed themselves of seeing what indeed is the blessedness of the Most High, and the Most High has a plan. Great distress upon all nations is soon to come. Great distress upon all nations will cause those who are wisest of Israel to awaken first, to realize there's no refuge after the ideals of the nations. To realize, my brothers and sisters, that because the nations at this point seem to rule, the Gentiles seem to rule well set up, True Israel will understand, our brothers and sisters, the times of wrath the Most High has foreordained. And all realize that there's no safety, no sanctuary, no peace, no salvation after any of the diverse standards which men have sought to declare, after none of the idolatries which men have upheld. Is there any hope, my brothers and sisters, for the world to be made one? For what is required that the world be made one is a foreordained statute of the Most High. It is not according to the imaginations of men. In the beginning was the word of promise, the word of salvation. And it is in harmony, and it is eternal, my brothers and sisters, according to all that the Most High himself declared. It is not after the designs of men. Salvation is not of works or conceits. The will, my brothers and sisters, what men think about it, what men conceive in their mind, is a work, my brothers and sisters, that they seek to bring to bear. The conceits of man, the men want to call salvation for all men, my brothers and sisters, are only vanity, because the Most High has already declared what that oneness is, what that peace is, what it is that will appease him. But my brothers and sisters, we live in a society that, though many times the Most High has promised that he will send one who will perform all that is his pleasure, most, my brothers and sisters, have no clue as to what those prophecies are about. Many have lived and died going to these sacrilegious institutions of men called churches, never knowing the truth, never understanding the need for a great restoration, and not understanding the need for a great restoration because they believe that the Most High compromises his will according to all that men have just simply, after the presumptuousness and machinations of their own hearts, have called godliness. It proves, my brothers and sisters, it proves man far fallen away from the truth. We simply realize that Yah is one, and that the people who are not one are not all his people. In fact, my brothers and sisters, I would even go one step further. Yah is one. And if we at any point are willing to sacrifice, let's just say not seek the fullness of what is divine will and purpose, if we're willing to compromise against discerning what is the fullness of divine purpose in any way, my brothers and sisters, this is not what attains to the promise. Hey, the gift, the promise, the peace, the Most High promised to faithful Abraham. For indeed, my brothers and sisters, a world that in so many ways does not look forward to a time of restoration has been self-righteous, selfishly ambitious, blind to the righteousness of Yah, because quite frankly, man did know Yah. The dimension that he claims to did know the righteousness of Yah. These divisions wouldn't exist. And quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, men would know there's a lot of work to be done before man is ready in all things to be called worthy of the holy name, worthy to be called Israel. But quite frankly, though the prophecies relate, the Most High will send his elect one as a standard bearer to declare what is the gospel, only word of salvation from on high. I find it amazing that if men understood the promise of the Most High for the restoration, they would have always also understood the promise of a restorer. The Messiah is not seen as a restorer by a society, my brothers and sisters, that loves its confusion, that loves its self-righteousness, and that loves its selfish ambitions. Many, my brothers and sisters, that without that expectation, what most people call the faith, has only been the vanities of man. And so many call, I haven't even realized, let's put it that way. There's so much what many people have just framed and call Israel. Institutions that say that they are Israel because they say they keep a Sabbath or a feast day. Say they keep Torah, but haven't understood the essence of Torah. our brothers and sisters. So many don't understand how they profane the name of the Most High, how they destroy themselves and their brothers for lack of knowledge, oftentimes not willing to know anything beyond that which sanctions their own personal pride, that which sanctions the flattering, the fatally flattering, faith-killing, pride of men. You know, last evening I went through a bit of Hosea, 7th chapter. I can only say that Hosea, 7th chapter, relates what the Most High says is the current state of human conscience. Even what is the current state of his people, having been polluted and infected after the ingratitude and the rebelliousness of the Gentile nations. Oh, and some people say, well, we haven't been well, hey, any time you would consider, if you were wise, that the Most High sent forth at one time his gospel into the earth at the hand of chosen men, and we see that the world is still divided and not one, and men seeking to preserve allegiances to the partialities and the pluralities and the pollutions that we see in the world today, still despising what is the pure and perfect truth. Our brothers and sisters, by no means has this been the result of faith and the love of Yah. It's not been the result of the gift of the Holy Spirit. It has been the result, my brothers and sisters, of men refusing to heed what the early church knew was the hope of a restoration. The Apostle Shaul, keep talking about it, Acts 3:18 through 22 and 23, told people to look forward to a time of great restoration. 1 Corinthians 3:18, 4:5, told people to look forward to a day of great restoration. Even rebuking even the church and the people that are in it, if their goal is not to humble themselves and seek the greater truth that all might be one. People say, there's strife and divisions among us. It is because we are worldly. And my brothers and sisters, to be worldly is not to be true to the cause of the church. To exalt, if you will, a multitude of partial standards is not the purpose of Israel. The purpose Most High sent his people to go forth with is to declare the exceeding righteousness and light of the one Most High, that no man would rob Yah, but that all give honor and praise that is due unto him. And quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, no man makes himself a true son of Israel. No man makes himself a true son of Abraham. No man, my brothers and sisters, who is proud, hear me, wants to call himself proud that he sees himself as a son of Israel, but has no concern for the fact that Yah gives men gifts that they may be shared and that others might see the love of Yah. Whoever does not understand that the Most High has conditions, yes, I say conditions, as to who it is that receives this promise. Think about it. In 2 Peter 1:1-11, Scripture says, Seek diligence for discretion, that you make your election unto the Most High sure. That means that if you do not seek the wisdom that exceeds the world, that is to be a light to the world, transcended all the partialities and the confusion that is a result of a lack of knowledge, you have not made your election unto understanding. A vouchsafe surety unto entering the kingdom of Yah. Do you really think the Most High gives you a gift that you share it not with others? Do you really think, my brothers and sisters, that if you see the truth and you choose to shut your mouths, that the Most High will be pleased with you? Do you really think, my brothers and sisters, if you are hasty in your conclusions before the time, that that's the result of being led by the Spirit of Yah? My brothers and sisters, I can only tell you, the Holy Spirit that teaches all things don't lie in it. If the omniscience of divine conscience keeps the soul humble, to know to continue to seek. Scripture says, if any man knows Yah, he knows him not as he ought to know him. If any man knows anything, he knows it not as he ought to know it. And if any man knows Yah, there's something already known by him. Well, how is it that somebody claims to know Yah and don't discern the need to seek a far greater dimension of truth beyond all the partialities, beyond all the pollutions that keep the people divided? My brothers and sisters, do we really believe that the Most High considers those who think after such frail patterns to be wise, worthy to be called king? Most High told me long ago, if I could look at all these contradictions we see in the world and believe that this is a result of his Spirit unto his purpose, he said I couldn't be a disciple unto him. I was saying, not only does it mean that you can't be a disciple unto him, but by no means are you worthy of his reward. Most have not even considered how the world in its competitiveness has already beguiled many hearts, whereby so many have become so pronated with their own selfish ambitions, forgetting the purpose for which the Most High called Abraham was that all nations be blessed. Become so self-concerned that they cannot consider what is necessary for the blessing of all, for the awakening of all. I think the Most High, I'm just going to tell you the truth, I think the Most High, from the very beginning, even before beginning to read the Bible, Most High began to show me some of the biggest secrets that are in it. Secrets that to this day I'm still yet to hear pastors speak about with the level of elaboration that is necessary. And it compelled me from that time forward, upon reading finally in the book and seeing these things the Most High told me, that most have not even considered, knowing that until these things are considered, I repeat, until men choose to consider these things, then nothing they think they know is viable, because it's all upon a faulty foundation, unto an alternate sense of eventuality. It's not the faith, it's not the expectation, and it leaves me and my brothers and sisters with nothing to govern their unruly hearts in turning aside from the law of the Most High. Men have only exalted their own self-rule. If you're not subject to divine law and divine expectation, you can be subject to anybody's lie and all the dereliction of personal perception that ultimately damns human souls, because the worst form of idol is a false concept of deity in your mind. If men actually believe that somehow the Most High, who they claim to love, praise, and believe, has lied, if men exalt themselves, I only say all those who could so easily fall for that seditious word to incite and seduce men unto iniquity, my brothers and sisters, for the Most High defined as iniquity. I think about the scriptures in Isaiah saying the Messiah will come and lead the people by a way that they have not known. Isaiah 41 says they have not heard the gospel. Everybody's exalting their own righteousness then. Their own unrighteousness. Blind and preferring that others also be blind. Unable to see the greater truth. Like I said he would lead the blind by ways they know not. Because as blind as men has become, there is none among them who declares the need to restore. Scripture says, have I so long been silent? He says that you have not revered me. He says we have to lay waste mountains before men understand the Most High has to stand it. Scripture says, my brothers and sisters, well, think about it. Scripture says there's in Isaiah 42, he said he would come forth and say there's none who has declared the need fully to restore. It means men have been proud in their sedentary lack of knowledge. And have called it honorable. Scripture says he has to send someone who will magnify the law and make it honorable. But if men are not willing to look or expect that discipline, that healing, that exceeding word, then what do they think Messiah is? Have men fallen victim, my brothers and sisters? I say that they have. Scripture said, upon the heads of the kings is the name of blasphemy, names of blasphemy, titles that are completely blasphemous, claiming to be as wise as the King of Kings, but far from it. And men in compromise, my brothers and sisters, have looked at all these contradictions and have believed because men put it under a title like they call Christianity. Have believed the Most High is just as convoluted in his thinking as all the multitude of lies that men have spoken against him. Well, my brothers and sisters, to have trusted after such fallacy, according to Isaiah 42, is for men to have been destroyed, burnt, utterly depraved in their conscience, blinded. They said down here in prison houses. How about blinded in prison houses? Or the greater truth were not in it. The truth that would set them free is not even welcome. Hidden in prison houses, but know it not. Who then will hear, according to Isaiah 43, the cry, the call of the Most High when he calls his people beyond this blindness. That they may be able to discern what indeed is human purpose. And I don't mean according to the designs of their various kings, rulers, pastors, priests, rabbis, elders, imams, whatever. Who will awaken, my brothers and sisters, to realize that Israel is called for divine purpose, whereby the scripture says in Isaiah 42, going into 43, finally it says, I've called you, O Israel, because you are mine. How many, my brothers and sisters, will awaken to realize that all the allegiances the world has established to supposedly represent but grossly misrepresent the cause, the purpose, the faith of the Most High have all been vanity, only unto the damnations of men, because men have felt that standards seemingly acceptable unto men, under their rulers, and all their differences have somehow been called sufficient. A multitude of partial standards, a multitude of polluted standards, a multitude of lying, perverse, and corrupted standards. And men have felt just because they call upon the name of the Most High that they discerned him as he is, has only been idolatry, my brothers and sisters, and none of his salvation. Scriptures tell you what you should have been looking for in the coming of one who will restore. But think about it. Do you really believe the rulers were going to reprove themselves? Do you think they had the conscience sufficient to reprove themselves? Scripture says the Most High to send someone who will destroy this Babylon, destroy this confusion. How is it, my brothers and sisters, that the scriptures say concerning him that His mouth is like a sharp two-edged sword with which he should smite the nations. So he would smite the nation with a rod of iron. Strong discipline. Even discipline beyond what is ordinary. Discipline beyond what seems righteous among the nations. If for righteousness' sake he would judge and make war. Why does the scripture say such things, my brothers and sisters, concerning the Savior? Why does the scripture say the word of Yah is like a sharp two-edged sword, able to tell the point of division between soul and spirit, bone and marrow, able to tell the thoughts and intents of the heart? Why does the scripture talk about the one who is called then the word of Yah according to Psalm 118? Why do you think the scriptures say all nations surrounded him? Surrounded him even for his detriment. What scripture says is the name of the Most High. He says that in his prophesied that he will speak. That is in the name of the Most High. True to the vow of the Most High. True to the promise of the Most High. True to the oath of the Most High. True to the law and the righteousness of the Most High. Through the word, the covenant, promise of the Most High, he will destroy them. Why do you think it says that, my brothers and sisters? Do people really believe Messiah comes to flatter any man? Scripture talks about how he would come in Zephaniah 3 and speak to a city, but the wicked among them none. It talks about how none would know or choose to realize the dimensions of their shame. Look at Zephaniah 3. Do you think when the scriptures say such things, Messiah, when what he said in, what is it, about 18 and 8, Luke? He said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith in the earth? Shall he flatter a faithless world? Men so desirous for flattery that they will prize personal pride, the vanity and flattery of men as more important even than the salvation of human souls. So much so that they sell their own souls for flattery to be exalted by men. Sell the souls of all those who would follow the flatterer for the praise of men. That lovelessness, my brothers and sisters, was never a covenant. That lovelessness, my brothers and sisters, actually, so many, once they get caught in their desire to exalt such fatal flattery, despise the truth, lest that after which they seek praise be exposed. Is that the love of Yah, my brothers and sisters? Is that the love of a brother? Hear, O Israel, the Most High, our Most High, is one. We must love all that he is. We must teach one another to love all that he is. He didn't say that you should allow flattery to create for you or cause you to follow after another concept of deity. Scripture says whoever does this, takes his name in vain, or swears by his name, if they do not humble themselves unto the fullness of his will, Scripture says the Most High has said in fact himself that anyone who does this should not be counted guiltless. That means he will be blamed. Found gullible, my brothers and sisters, gullible after the flesh. I can only tell you, and this might sound like a, some people might consider it somewhat amazing, but I'm telling you the truth. I've heard from the Most High directly. One time in particular, Most High gave me a message very early on. By no means was that message as replete as that which I know now. But it was all I did know. And I remember one Sunday afternoon. Like I say, I remember times just literally wearing out tennis shoes. Walking. Miles. I said miles, my brothers and sisters, down the roads, byways, making copies of all kinds of information the Most High had given me, putting them on doors, talking to whoever I spoke to, passing them out around churches,
oftentimes waiting until people got out of their churches, passing information to people, talking to whoever would speak for hours until evening came. It became dark and it was time to head back in. I remember times of sitting down after fairly long day, because oftentimes to put together that much information required getting up sometimes 4 o'clock in the morning, getting to the printer with what the Most High granted me over the course of the night. Typing things up, printing them up, latest news. Yeah, sometimes required getting up 4 o'clock or so in the morning to get it all prepared, to be ready for the time. Hundreds, thousands of copies. Getting back home after a long day, sitting down, just feeling anointing, just, I can't even describe the power. Like a massage to rejuvenate. Hearing the voice of the Most High let me hear directly how he was pleased with the effort and having delivered the message that he had given me. And I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, I've heard some praise from the Most High for those efforts. Directly heard some praise from the Most High for those efforts. And I can tell you something, my brothers and sisters, having seen the glory of what the Most High desires to be the caliber of message that he wants his people to hear. Having seen it, Most High sometimes raises the conscience to see it. And all my brothers and sisters, it's like scraping with all you have at the edge of a cliff. You start coming back down to your ordinary self. Heaven help us. He told me that level of conscience I could have one day as a constant, but I had to obey him. I'm going to tell you, having seen something I knew and felt was way beyond myself as the ultimate desire of the Most High, the drive of the Most High, having heard commendation from him, all I could say in response, hey, it wasn't something that I, when you told me that I'd done a good work, I'm putting it to you lightly in terms of context of what he actually said. All I could respond and say, in response, was, Father, just simply teach me how to do it better. You know, it's kind of a funny thing to think about. Many are quickly impressed because men flatter them. Men are impressed with them. But knowing that there's so much more in the Most High that has to be accomplished, and understanding that what he desires of men is so much greater than what we now see, those who are truly wise will understand the meaning of the song where it speaks concerning the heart of Messiah, the Anointed One, saying, I will not be satisfied till thy worship is revived. It's a beautiful thing to hear the Most High to give a badge or seal of approval to your efforts. But my brothers and sisters, I can only call your attention to words that the Messiah himself gave to one like Kepha, called Peter. It was Kepha, Peter, who, when the Messiah asked, who do you say I am? That actually said he is the Kurdi, the righteous one, the expected, awaited one. The Messiah said, upon that foundation I'll build my church. Many haven't even understood the meaning of what the scriptures mean when the Messiah said, you must testify to this in all the churches. It's a foundation upon which the churches are to be, the foundation of their expectation. If you destroy that expectation, you destroy that faith. In fact, my brothers and sisters, people have nothing to bring themselves completely out of the corruptions of this world. See, I believe you're the Kurdi, the son of the living Yah. I say, upon this foundation I build my church. Upon this foundation, I call my people out from all the corruptions of this world, because if they did understand what Messiah meant when he said, I am the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star, they would understand that they must exceed all the supposed unrighteousness of all the rulers, because Messiah comes because the rulers have not declared that righteousness. And all prophecy relates. It will be discerned in the last days. For instance, in looking at Revelation 6, it says the kings of the earth will hide and run for cover when Messiah comes. Saying hide and calling the mountains and hills, the nations to protect and fall upon them, if you will. Always still so selfish to be concerned about themselves. Saying hide from the face of the Lamb and him who sits upon the throne. It means the rulers haven't taught the righteousness that is intended, but that's why Messiah comes. Kings should shut their mouths because of him, because that which they had not considered, they should be made to consider. So who should be able to stand? Who will believe his report? But those, my brothers and sisters, who know they must seek a righteous greater than the rulers, after one whose vision is greater than the sons of men, whose vision is greater than the contradictions, the calloused confusion that seems wise to a multitude of men in debate. Messiah comes to reveal a greater righteousness, my brothers and sisters. Scripture says he be exalted and very high, and that he will discern, my brothers and sisters, with a prudence that is greater than what is ordinary, able to see what others have not seen, therefore able to declare righteousness others have not known. He says he will lead the people by a way that they have not known. How about the way of true righteousness, the gospel that is beyond the nations after men so long have been subject to their rulers, pastors, priests, rabbis, elders, kings, presidents, whatever, who apparently, without question, according to all prophecy, had not what is required to be able to declare the way of the kingdom of Yah. Look at the scriptures closely. Why would Messiah say your rights must exceed that of your, ultimately your leaders, Jew and Gentile? Why do you say your righteousness must exceed that of your leaders? You think that it's righteous to believe a multitude of differences that the Gentile nations have declared? Do you think Israel, just calling itself Israel, people just call themselves Israel, but still divided after what is still Gentile self-righteousness, selfish ambition, blindness? Do you think that's sufficient, my brothers and sisters, for men to be saved? And that men have called upon the name of the Most High according to the shallow mindedness of their own hearts, and put the title Israel upon it as a blasphemy, another blasphemous title. I look around and I see so many institutions that won't even get close to declaring so much that I've placed on my website as the righteousness of Yah and the hidden things the Most High said in advance that they would not teach. Won't even get close. Don't even want to get close to debating, and not to say I'd look for a debate. Don't want to even get close to discussing these issues, lest the people be compelled to begin to see what they've been robbed of so very long. Can't tell how many times, my brothers and sisters, I've sought to talk about these things, the secret city prophecies, who Messiah said that he is, knowing that these truths, without these truths, forgets the faith and becomes selfish and ambitious, self-righteous, not even knowing he is not submitted to the righteousness of Yah. Not discerning that his faith must come by hearing a word from Yah. Faith, my brothers and sisters, is that exceeding word. Understanding that the Most High is indeed wiser than men. Scripture says, when Messiah comes, he revealed the hidden things. And then shall men know how to praise Yah. Does that mean that men not knowing the hidden things, still in the prison houses that hide the truth, declaring standards always partial, always in some way perverse, in no way identifying the mysteries of iniquity that men must overcome? Do men believe that subject to such as these, they've been anything else but under misallegiance, tribulation, sin? Do you really think the Holy Spirit hides from men the truth that in their diligence they would prove themselves worthy to hear and to understand? I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, there's a lot of prophecy that basically says a lot of folks never attained a certain knowledge, dimension of truth. simply because, I hope you hear me, they never claim certain dimensions of truth because, quite frankly, in so many ways, they have not proved when they were granted a little bit to be faithful over. They were not faithful enough even under that to show they'd be steadfast if they were taught the greater truth. Because God news for you. There are truths in the book we call the Bible. And the scripture says whether men receive those truths or not will decide whether they were the work of Yah or a sheer carnal abomination. Do you really think the Most High reveals those kinds of truths to people that they might corrupt them before the time? There's an old adage, my brothers and sisters, used to be said, I'll put it to you this way, during what they call the Cold War, late 50s, early 60s. Finally, the early 60s, an animated idea, but, you know, finally, especially when, let's just say when Kennedy was in office. And the question was simply this, with regard to certain secrets. Somebody asked the question, would Kennedy tell Khrushchev? Well, sometimes you look at a lot of the ultra-national things that are going on in the world today. But I can tell you, my brothers and sisters, there are certain truths the Most High reveals only to those who prove themselves faithful. And to be quite frank with you, some others might hear those truths so they're blue in the face and they never really comprehend them for the full gravity of the importance of what they heard. So often, because most people feel like, hey, if what they hear does not comply with what they think is already a foundation, they're not ready to deal with it anyway. Well, the Most High, my brothers and sisters, does not lie nor compromise to save anyone. In other words, what I'm saying to you is this. There are things the Most High has promised. There are stipulations to that promise. Most High promised Abraham that if he sought the perfect will of Yah, his children would be a blessing to the nation. Those who are after his common faith would be a blessing to all nations, meaning that you expect that the day will come when the whole world will be made complicit after the will of one, that all might have peace. You ever stop and consider that until we are willing to seek the truth, even oftentimes being self-sacrificial, onto seeking the truth and declaring the truth, that others might, in knowing the truth, cease to be enemies? Our brothers and sisters, the animosity remains. Do you really think that the Most High calls it peace in the world? That if, say, for instance, if Israel were to have dominion, do you really think the Most High calls it peace, pleasing unto him, that Israel would attain dominion and just simply have the power to overcome all her enemies, that people remain enemies? Is that peace, my brothers and sisters? Is that the opportunity to focus in the praise of the Most High to the dimension that is intended? Most High talks about converting the nations, my brothers and sisters, there might be peace. And shall Israel not take upon the shoulders that deliberation with the help of Yah? Shall Israel refuse to take upon itself that deliberation and expect still to be the inheritors of peace? Shall Israel hate and expect it to be an expression of love? Shall Israel despise what is the fullness of purpose? In other words, get my point. Shall Israel choose not to forgive and expect to be forgiven? What does Scripture say? If you will not forgive your brother, the Heavenly Father will not forgive you. You ever stop to consider when the whole world, Jew and Gentile, is found falling short of the mark, that whoever would exalt himself in his unrighteousness, sitting back and talking about his superiority, supposedly because I've heard some people say, well, I'm a child of Israel. Well, if you don't realize your purpose as a child of Israel unto the blessing of others, asking the Most High humbly to reveal to you how not to be someone who keeps people stuck on stupid. If you don't realize that purpose, guess what? You have profaned the holy name. And quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, whoever will compel people after such pride are all instruments of damnation. They damn themselves, they damn others, and then they expect the Most High to give them a reward of peace. Purity completion offers one choice. The very word for peace declares that we must seek the complete will of Yah, the pure and complete will of Yah. But there are those, my brothers and sisters, who have no intention to open their hearts to the kind of reproof the Most High would grant. Most High sent Messiah to bring solution. Wherever men have fallen short, it says he comes to make the crooked places straight. In other words, wherever men have come perverse in his path, to set him straight. Wherever men have puffed up in his vanity, men have to be humble. And my brothers and sisters, wherever men have fallen to a pit of depravity, he has to show men the way back to walk the straight and level path. But that means, my brothers and sisters, you expect someone to have a vision that is not as shallow as your own, not stifled or staggered as your own. The religious people believe that Messiah was sent or that prophets were sent to wait till people approved their message before they spoke. My brothers and sisters, whenever Most High sent prophets, they reproved the priests, and so often they reproved also the kings. Do you think they got permission to speak? Well, I want you to think about something. Rome, as well as Greece, for a long time had made it absolutely illegal for those who believed to evangelize to the Gentile nations. Why? Because they didn't want reproof. So men despise the voice of a healer, or despise healing reproof, and expect, because men don't see where the error lies, that the Most High will be pleased at those who despise the message. Remember, the word of Yah is like a sharp two-edged sword, and that means that it cuts every which way and declares an absolute point. And wherever men fall short of that point, or wherever even men who would call themselves righteous miss it, wherever it is those who despise that point or in unbelief miss it, it still declares correction. For all the nations, the scripture says, would stand to despise him who declares righteousness. And think about what I'm telling you. Messiah, according to the prophets, has to come to reprove Israel. In fact, the scripture says, judgment begins in the house of Yah. And I can only tell you that Hosea 8 chapter talks about Messiah, the watchman of Ephraim, is a man hated in the house of his God. Because the people of the churches have become deeply depraved in the days of Gibeah. Go back and look that up, G-I-B-A-H, and understand the type of depravities that were done like in the days when the tribe of Benjamin was so rebellious. They did corrupt themselves in the days of Gibeah. And it simply actually said that someone in those days in Israel shall finally know it. He said he remembered their iniquities and he will punish their sins. You look at the scenario really closely, my brothers and sisters. You think Messiah comes to commend such depravity? Do you think the prophets came to commend when Israel got out of line? All scripture relates again and again, even from the times of Moshe. Moshe was told to tell the people that it's when they got out of line, even when the priesthood got out of line, the Most High would send prophets to raise again the conscience of men. What makes people think the Most High sends prophets to flatter folk? And I look at all these so-called pastors, priests, rabbis who flatter people in their ignorance, and they themselves being of so many truths, ignorant. are willing to flatter the people, not willing to seek anything beyond what the people will hear, like a whole lot of pastors have told me. Hey, a lot of folks not going to get that. Hey, they didn't get it till they and I spoke about it oftentimes. But they say, how many folks do you think are going to get that? Why? Because they were buck eyes wide open when they heard it. And had no intention of telling the people, because to know these truths would have opened the eyes to the people to realize a greater dimension of faith than what they had had. Know to seek a greater dimension of truth than what they had. And they said things like this because they have no intention to raise the mind, because guess what? They prefer that the people remain right where they are. They can exploit them at will. Is there any love of Yah in this? Is there any love of the people in this? Is that the love of a covenant? Is that what Israel is, my brothers and sisters? That would exploit and murder a brother. And seeking praise at their brother's expense, even at the expense of the ridicule of the Holy Name. Because oftentimes when men deny the truth the Most High intends, it is actually just that. Men being compelled to hate, despise, and immediately react with anger upon hearing what they had not heard, presupposing that it just simply can't be true. I can only tell you, not that long ago, I remember telling somebody about something in the scripture they had never heard, thinking that they, you know, they've been in church all their life. That can't be so, because I've been in church all my life, since I was a little child. Most of my family pastors. Can't be in the Bible, because they hadn't heard it. Showed it to them. He just looked at it. Walked away and won't speak about it. I've seen the guy since and won't speak about it now. Is that the love of Yah? Is that humility before him who it is wise to be humble before? Or is that damning pride? I had to tell him that an attitude like that, with an attitude like that, the Most High wouldn't want him in his kingdom. That had very little else to say. But that's the truth, my brothers and sisters. That's the truth. Flattery is a faith killing that causes men to exalt the idolatries of their own hearts. And no such infection as this is the Most High desire. That there might be preservation of disease. Dis-ease rather than peace. And blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, will understand it. I've chosen to kind of slow things down tonight. There's a lot of things I could talk about. But I know that everybody, my brothers and sisters, doesn't have the foundation necessary if I were to speak of these things. Not to take them out of context. Those of you who listen to my show on a regular basis know that if I had my way about it, I'd prefer to set foundation in place to relate why I say what I say. There's a reason why the Most High said, think not that he came to destroy the law of the prophets, because there are particulars of the foundation upon which, or the foundation of the words that he would declare. That if men don't have them, they only assure and the world is left confused. What do you think the scriptures mean when Messiah said, think not that I've come to destroy or to dishonor in any way the law of the prophets? So if any way you do this, you shall not enter the kingdom of Yah. So you shut the doors to understanding the kingdom and expect to enter? Scripture says when the prince appears, it says, to whom shall he teach knowledge? To whom shall he make to understand the report? Because men have not had the foundation upon which to stably understand and to grow. Ezekiel speaks of how Messiah will come and will be quite angry because the shepherds have not fed the flocks. What was the last thing Messiah said to his apostles or to his disciples before his ascension? One of the last things he said to them, this, if you love me, feed my lambs, feed my ewes. Don't make it so difficult for my people to understand. Preserve this word as long as it's possible to preserve it, because he knew that a great and evil day was coming, wherein millions in the early centuries were murdered because they understood the truth. That would be the conversion of the nations. The exceeding truth that men should follow, since the rulers, the leaders, the pastors, the priests, the kings were not performing the duty of an anointed. All of them false prophets. Because quite frankly, if you declare a testimony that prepares no one for that which the Most High knows men must prepare, if they are going to hear, heed, and receive the benefit of his words, anyone who will not declare all the word the Most High gives after his spirit, that men oftentimes reject the truth because of lack of knowledge. Our brothers and sisters, that's not the love of Yah, that's hate. That's selfish pride, that's selfish ambition, and quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, Scripture calls it a pride that he calls abominable. Not a work of him. And whatever will not be molded by him. Quite frankly, what did he say in one scripture in Isaiah 60:12? The nation that will not serve Israel. How about the nation that will not be molded at the hand of the Most High? Scripture says that nation shall perish. He says he's going to break in pieces all kingdoms, all nations. In fact, that he established a kingdom that shall not perish, but that shall endure forever. He says, my brothers and sisters, in so many ways in the scriptures, that he'll make a full end of all the nations that scatter, if you will, the allegiances of his people. He calls them to sin, and because of self-righteousness, never know it. Is that what the Holy Spirit does, my brothers and sisters? Keep men blind to their sins? Flatter men in their unrighteousness? Let me tell you something. Many believe the Holy Spirit is called a comforter because they say that the Holy Spirit makes them feel good about themselves and their own self-righteousness. My brothers and sisters, that is quite Gentile. I want you to understand something. Ancient Israel and those who knew the promise of the Most High knew that there's no salvation after any misallegiance, after any partial, corrupt, or polluted standards. The Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters, is a comforter to those who know their only hope of salvation is that they become whole, that they become pure, that they become complete. According to all the Most High declared. That's why the Scripture says the Holy Spirit teaches all things, brings all things to remembrance, rebuke all sin. How about all false standards that men uphold and think are wise? Most High told me the greatest wisdom is not what people think they know, what they don't know, what they think they know. Not giving consideration to all that he says. He says not wisdom at all. Shall the Most High declare to you in advance that the standard you must attain is beyond what has been human conscience in the time that he appears, and you be satisfied, assuming that he has lied, that that's a false accusation, when he says that when he appears, all of sin, falling short of what is divine conscience, the falling short of his glory, you think that's a false accusation? You say it's a false accusation at the hands of him you say you praise and believe? Do you really think the Most High sees what is his plan no more so than you think you know it? I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, I have foreseen a day. I'll just go ahead and tell you. Wish I could tell you the whole dream. Wish I could tell you the whole dream. If it were time yet, I would. Not trying to hold anything from you. But the things Messiah said, many things I long to tell you, but you can't receive them yet. I'm not saying everybody is not prepared to understand it. I just know that most would not. One time I saw Most High shown his light. See the destruction of the beast, the destruction of the lies, the men that believe, ultimately unto the destruction of men even believing that they should seek refuge after so many illusions that they think now are sufficiently wise. Men knowing finally that Yah will not have his name profaned after any of the misgivings of man. And when there was no obstacle to men giving honor to the Most High for the blessing that he would create in the world, in the dream, I can tell you the Most High commanded me to conceive what I thought was beauty. And I can only tell you, as fast as I could think it, I began to see things as beautiful as I could imagine, and even more beautiful because according to all that I could imagine, beautiful, everything came up with it necessary not only to bring it to bear, but to preserve it. Far beyond, let's just say, what my little small-minded collective conscience could see it at any given moment. And it was amazing to watch so much beauty spring up. All that was necessary, like I said, to bring forth that beauty. And when I said there should be something that does this or something that does that, it came up in a better design than my little old mind could imagine or couldn't conceive. I was amazed to watch it. And after I had conceived all that I could imagine as beautiful, because there was no more obstacle in the minds of men to sit back and exalt something less, it was like he told me to step aside. Step aside, son, let daddy show you how to do it. That's the best way I can tell it to you. And for all the beauty that I could, my little old bitty mind could muster, let's just say it brought finally one day to mind, better understanding the meaning of the scripture. It says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard the glory of that which Yah's plan. How about this, my brothers and sisters, for a world that will finally come to love him? They will no longer despise him as supreme, him as healer. And my brothers and sisters, without question, him who knows good, far better than what carnal mind might imagine. Because it's an amazing thing to consider that the Most High would want such beauty to be a prize that he would give to man. But when you understand that he created man unto his glory, what less than that do you really expect? Man's going to find out that all his rebelliousness has only been an obstacle against him receiving the goodness of Yah. When man finally snaps to it and realizes it is because of man's contentiousness against, let's just say, the righteous use of the gifts of Yah. When man finally realizes that the greatest gift of Yah is the recognition of his law, whereby man might cooperate unto all the greater glory. A lot of folks are going to be quite ashamed, my brothers and sisters, of all the rebelliousness that's been in the hearts. All the pride, my brothers and sisters, has been so much of an obstacle. Or the selfish ambition whereby men thought that exalting themselves would grant them the gift of Yah. My brothers and sisters, I can only tell you there's a devil that laughs at men who even begin to think so. Wasn't that the trick that he performed on man in the garden? Causing men to believe that if they could themselves be exalted to the power, that indeed They would attain and retain the blessing. You ever stop and consider thoughts like that got man kicked out of the garden? What makes people think that thoughts like that is going to grant him the opportunity to gain the garden? In other words, my brothers and sisters, what makes people think that uncooperative instincts like that will even allow him to see it, to imagine the beauty of the garden, let alone attain it as a prize, the paradise prize? You don't function against Yah, my brothers and sisters. You found worthy of his name, for he is the great I am that I am. Yah with Yah is Yah. No contradiction in him. In fact, my brothers and sisters, anything that would defy him is by far falling away from life and peace. Find it amazing that seeing so many divisions among us. Without question, Yah is one. But seeing divisions among us, people have been prideful, self-satisfied. Hey, pleasing this? Why? Because they don't tell you there's a need for a restoration or a restorer. People can do that. I did not say it be unto their salvation, because it only means what the scripture said. When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith in the earth? If everybody feels like they're so satisfied and satisfactory unto themselves, do they need to believe one who brings reproof? What does Zephaniah say? Messiah would come. Every morning he brings justice to light. Or he brings forth a greater sense of what is justice. He does not fail. But he said the wicked, those who know nothing of the promise, never told a thing because they trusted in their rulers, didn't seek anything more. Hey, they only sought what made them feel good after their own minds, as if every man's own personal standard is the standard by which all men shall be made one. Then the scripture say point blank that the scriptures are not of any private interpretation. The Spirit has already decreed the meaning. And when men wrote what they wrote, remember, my brothers and sisters, before there was words, there was thought. And man functioning according to the blindness of his, as to say, lack of vision, like scripture says, with their lips they draw them, with their hearts far from them, they worship after the precepts and doctrines of men. And the vision involved becoming like a word of a book that is sealed. How many understand that you need something more than just reading words on a page in order to see the visions? The scribes and Pharisees and so many who call themselves leaders, they have the words on a page. Does that mean they have the vision? Scripture says they read the book and be blind in Isaiah 29. The book is given to one who is supposed to learn it, a pastor, priest, rabbi, elder, whatever. Says, I can't read it because I'm not learning. Well, you ever stop to consider, the scripture says also there that they would say, who knows that we do corruptly, hide in the counsel of the Most High. Scripture says there that this design of men turning things upside down should be a scheme of the breaking of a potter's vessel. One day the whole world will know that this secretive was selfish exaltation. Scripture says it would be esteemed as an unclean thing, a thing diseased, a thing to be despised, unto even like the breaking of a potter's vessel is broken without pity. But who, my brothers and sisters, is willing to awaken enough to understand this? I think it's a shame that so many call themselves Israel, dare to compel men under blindness, refusing to discern that the times of Jacob's trouble, been talking about that later, has long been upon us after the persecution of nations. That so many lack the discretion enough to realize that the scripture says the times of Jacob's trouble means that someone is putting great persecution against Israel. The scripture says they can make a full interval of nations that have scattered his people. Most High told me that it is tribulation, trouble, anytime men are subject to an allegiance less than his own. Time of Jacob's trouble. Remember those scriptures talking about in Galatians? We've talked about this before. It talks about anyone who would keep the people from being one, true to the gospel. causing trouble among the people. Or let's just say something other than peace, something other than completion, something other than smooth transition of the minds under the greater will of Yah. Hey, somebody talk about troubled water. It means there's a storm brewing. Making your trip something other than a smooth one. Making your efforts something other than easy. Tribulation, trouble. The people of Israel, my brothers and sisters, don't discern the will of Yah enough to transcend their differences. Do you really think the Most High is pleased with the people who, for all this debate and doubt, cannot be a light, cannot be a blessing to the world? That have become so self-righteous and concerned with themselves that they don't realize that the Most High demands that Israel seek indeed the blessing of all nations. And it automatically means that Israel, granted the covenant, was commanded to preserve it. I said demanded. Commanded. That once given a word of truth to preserve it. And by no means does that mean, well, that men hearing the truth should reject it. What I'm talking about is the scriptures talk about the kingdom of Yah, like one scripture says, a woman who found a 10th coin, one that was missing. And she ran back to all of her friends and said, rejoice with me. How about be made whole with me? Be delivered with me. Rejoice in what is, in that what we all need, not to be partial, has been found. How many of us, my brothers and sisters, when Messiah appears to reveal what the world has not considered, what kind of a blessing, and how many would choose to ignore the truth so they exalt among men their own damnation? I say it's a shame that men call themselves Israel and act like Gentiles, saying they're worthy of a promise and refusing to recognize the conditions of it. As if every man has a right to rob the Most High, every man has a right to rob his brother, everybody has a right to use the holy name against Yah. His name is to be revered, is to be looked upon as something greater than self, that men might recognize purpose, might recognize indeed what is love. But if men, my brothers and sisters, want to call themselves Israel, remember what the prophet Yohanan said. Don't get so hopped up that you call yourself sons of Abraham, because the Most High can raise up sons of Abraham from these stones. Bring forth works meet or worthy to be called what? Repentance. A complete return unto Yah himself. Worthy to be called an offering unto him. Or dare men say that they can bring forth a work of themselves sufficient of the Most High when they won't even bear for all to see the testimony of light that should not be hid. If you read real close to Isaiah 41:20 through 43:15, you see that the Most High is not going to call worthy of a reward those who even begin to understand and won't cry aloud and spare not. Shall men, my brothers and sisters, be called the light of the world and refuse to shine and say they performed a service? My brothers and sisters, regretfully, most have not even sought that exceeding light and despise it, and all they can exude is darkness and wouldn't seek enough to know any better. Most have told me that many who call themselves Israel and are proud today have been proud of the course of generations have been damned and will be while there's a continuance to not respect that it is the name of the Most High and the sanctity of his name and the fullness of all his words and everything that he has declared that is of utmost importance and to be revered above all else. For seeking to exalt themselves or be exalted in the midst of mass ignorance, many have forsaken theirs and the souls of many others because no incomplete standard will save anyone. No complete, incomplete standard will make anyone true under the kingdom of the Holy Gospel. The kingdom, my brothers and sisters, that will be ruled by a standard above and beyond the blindsidedness of all the nations. That's not what people want to hear. Well, my brothers and sisters, to have an opportunity to repent and discern your sins is a blessing. I promise you that it is. When the gospel went forward to the nations, you think it was a word to flatter all the nations as they are? Messiah said, go forth and teach all nations everything that he declared. He said, Yah so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him. How about him who reproves and teaches after the Spirit what others would not or could not? That those who believe in him might not perish. That means without discretion of your sins, you perish in your sins. He said, if you do not believe that I am he, you are dying in your sins. He said, he gave them power to become sons of Yah, those who believe in him. Yah so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. But those who believe in him, my brothers and sisters, seek power to become the sons of Yah, opportunity to become disciplined by him whose wisdom is greater than man, that they do not perish. Because what is the ordinary pluralist corruption of man? Profaning the name of the Most High rather than believing in the Holy Name according to all that's on the contract is only damnation, my brothers and sisters, and not salvation. You need to read around Yohanan 1:12, 1:10 through 12 in particular, I guess it's right up in there. 3:14 to 3:21, Yohanan. Read between the lines, my brothers and sisters. Read the collective of what's said. Don't let men's harping on one verse not telling you everything that's around it cause you to be robbed. Don't let such partiality to cause you to rob, cause you to be robbed and make you a robber, lest you be found complicit with the deceiver. Many, the Most High told me, would rather believe a deceiver than believe they have been deceived. Well, that's false comfort. Scripture says in the last days people are going to find out till Messiah comes. It's very much like what he spoke before. All before me were thieves and robbers. Messiah is going to say pretty much the same thing to humanity in these latter days. He said, who is there among you who could declare these things? Was it not I, the Most High? He sends Messiah to declare what others did not see. It means, my brothers and sisters, no man is going to be delivered by the standard he finds wise in his own heart. And whoever will not give glory to him whom the Most High calls by name, his elect one, that men might discern what indeed is the glorious truth of the gospel. I'd have you to read Isaiah 41:21 to 42:4. Read on to 43:5. Isaiah 49. How about Isaiah 5:49, 1 through 6, starting at 48:1. Reading all the way out to about 51:8. Whoever's not willing to trust in the righteousness of him whom the Most High sends in his name, our brothers and sisters, entrusting in their vanity and not having the faith nor that expectation that all the saints knew, has not known the faith, not known Yah. And do you really think, my brothers and sisters, the Most High has hid these things? Only to those, my brothers and sisters, who have not shown themselves worthy to know them. Most High still elects and chooses who he wills to tell. But I remember one time, I got only a few minutes left, and a lot more I could still say, looking at Hosea, third chapter again. I'm not going to have time again tonight. It appears to go back through that as I did last night. I say just go back and listen to last night's show. I remember one time I asked the Most High why he was revealing to me so many things of which I know that not everyone is privy. And I'm talking about the first 2 weeks after anointing. Flooded with information. So much so that I don't think I spoke very many words at all through the entire those first couple of weeks before I remember saying those words, these particular words, asking the Father, why was he revealing all these things to me? I can't tell you everything. I don't even have time here to tell you a lot about a lot of things I grew up and saw. But I know the Most High prepares a heart to be ready to deal with, hey, well, let's just say sometimes you get persecuted for something you didn't do. You realize those who call, many times are called judges, are not exactly so wise. Nor are they always so very fair. Sometimes they're dissuaded by the words of others. Well, Most High knows how to prepare a heart to have a thicker skin than to always just seek the praise of men. In other words, to say, well, if I know if I'm, I've sought to do all I know to be done right for the eyes of the Most High, then hey, that's sufficient enough for me. Well, I remember one time I asked the Most High, why was he revealing all these things to me? What he
seconds.
First told me was simply this. After having told me other, he said, it's because you've learned how to forgive. My brothers and sisters, dare we think that bearing constant animosity against those who would be converted when we need to be converted ourselves. It's called gratitude unto Yah. Do you think he calls a soul to awaken, not to call others to him?
Seconds.
Brothers and sisters, we have to learn a whole lot more patience. But believe me, you ever stop to consider the kind of patience the Most High has had with us? It doesn't mean that we like the corruptions that we see. We realize that, brothers and sisters, we ought to bear a burden that a world be finally converted. I remember scriptures prophesied of Messiah saying in this way, that the reproach that fell upon thee or the reproach that men have given against the Most High came upon he himself. What else do you expect, my brothers and sisters, when you stand up for a word and even those who claim to love you have despised the healer? Read Isaiah 59 and understand what that scripture
says.
10 seconds. Messiah looked upon men and saw men only lying and saw no intercessor. And he had to reprove his enemies. To speak again, my brothers and sisters, has been the enemy of covenant remembrance ministries to his might, honor, and praise always. Hallelujah! Now, thank you all again for listening.
You got